I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on the Boxing Day fixtures. Rangers fall further behind after losing 2-1 in Paisley against St Mirren. Celtic now sit 12 points clear after seeing off Motherwell by 4-0. And there were huge wins for Hibs, Ross County, Kilmarnock and Dundee United as St Johnstone stay bottom. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight you have Scott Allen and Hugh Evans.
What a day yesterday. A 20-goal festive frenzy in the Premiership. Every match had a story to tell by the end of play. But I think we all know why we're here tonight. There was one result that registered on the Richter scale, and it's put Philippe Clement back where he started with the Rangers fans. He had them on his side for a few weeks, 4 wins in the league on the bounce, but now he's back to square one. And I think the next 2 games, Motherwell away, Celtic at home, will have an awful lot to do with Philippe Clement's future.
It was quite a set of results, Scott Allen, wasn't it?
Yeah, and so many for different teams. I think the Rangers one's obviously the main talking point. Obviously, St Mirren stopping Rangers' momentum, which we've seen them pick up over the last month or so. Hibs obviously winning away to Hearts, which is a huge result. Ross County winning for the first time in 480 days. Celtic with a routine performance at Parkhead and lots of good goals.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. I know the guys were here yesterday, I was not, so Merry Christmas from me to you. But other than that, there's plenty of football to get stuck straight into because the guys have already touched on it. Rangers fans, what happened yesterday? Where did it go wrong? Who are you blaming? Where does it leave you in the title race? And where does it leave you ahead of trips to Fir Park and the visit of Celtic to come? Get all your thoughts in. One look at social media last night and this morning tells you that was a big deal, that result. So do get your thoughts in right now, please, Rangers fans. 0141 951 1025. It was a more routine day in the end, as Scott Allen says, for Celtic. So Celtic fans, anything that you took away from that you'd like to share, please do. Stuart Kettlewell very unhappy at the award of a penalty, but it was a comfortable afternoon for Celtic thereafter. So anything that you'd like to get off your chest, same number. And honestly, we could extend this show because Hibs fans, you must be on cloud nine after a derby win. Ross County fans, you must have thought you would never win away from home ever again. You look at Kilmarnock fans, I'd love to hear from you because only a month ago, Aberdeen only lost their first league game of the season a month ago. And they've not won since, and they are dropping like a stone. So all of you, as many of you as possible, share it with us. 0141 951 1025. You two have got some brutal decisions to make.
Yeah.
You are Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna, because on a Monday we usually pick some awards from the weekend, but we have to do it because we had a full card. So good luck picking a result of the weekend.
Well, I'll start with the one that, journalistically speaking, created the biggest headline of all, and that's St Mirren 2, Rangers 1. A terrific night for Stephen Robinson. He finished the night with 2 17-year-olds in his team. He had 3 substitutes who all conspired to create and execute the winning goal. Big night for him. Disastrous night for Philippe Clement.
I'm going to go with Kilmarnock. Obviously, you spoke about some of the results they had earlier on in the season. I thought it was a fantastic performance for the 90 minutes, free academy products as well on the pitch, some fantastic goals. So Kilmarnock for me.
Hear that, Hibs fans? He's overlooked you. I cannot believe a derby win at Tynecastle, Mr. Hibs over there, and he's overlooked him. Ross County, 480 days without an away win.
Well, the day was so good yesterday, there were actually too many stories.
There were, to be fair. Picking 2 results out of that was tough. What about goal of the day then? I was going to say goal of the weekend, goal of the day.
I'm going to give mine to Dwight Gale, the winner in the Edinburgh Derby. Dwight knows this is his last season in football. He's said before that his body is gradually giving up on him, but the execution was sweet and that the goal was of such significance. First win at Tynecastle for Hibs in 5 years.
Okay, not a bad shout.
Ennis Cameron for me with the through ball from Fraser Murray. Lovely wee dink over the goalkeeper from the outside there about through ball.
Spoiled for choice. You could have Caelan Boyd-Munce, Rio Hatate. That was loads of good.
Forgot about Boyd-Munce.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Overlooked.
Yeah, we'll go Boyd-Munce for the, obviously, the late winner.
Oh, he's changed.
Yeah, I've changed.
Oh, my God.
We'll go for the late winner and a lovely assist for the
young slipping.
Boy.
Let's get more controversial. Your howler of the weekend.
I'll go Rangers goalkeeper, Jack Butland. He started the rot. Why he chose to go out the way he did and not let his defenders defend the ball, and it was a ridiculous penalty to concede.
Don't mind that as a shout. I can see you've backed up your point, which is fine. Your howler of the weekend, Scott.
Aberdeen as a team, I think.
Their collapse.
They collapse, yeah. They decline in form. They never looked like they were going to trouble Kilmarnock at all. Just sheer dominance from Kelly, and they're looking. I think that's no wins in seven now for Aberdeen. They're massively needing a result.
And your top man, your top performer.
Yep, I'm going Sir David Gray. The Hibs manager has had his fair or unfair share of criticism since the season began. He's known what it was like to sit bottom of the table, but he's coming away now. That win at Tynecastle takes him 5 points above Hearts, and that's the important thing if you are the Hibs manager in Edinburgh.
Nicky Cadden for me, again another player who's been the main reason of the Hibs revival over the last month. Two assists yesterday, some unbelievable crosses and passes within the game, and it needed big moments, and he produced them.
Come on then, that's you had the tone set, but what do you think? 01419511025, where did it go wrong in Paisley for you Rangers fans? Where did it go right for you St Mirren fans? Because as was always the case here, your part in this will maybe get overlooked. So give us your thoughts on how good your team were. Rangers fans, where did it go wrong on the night? Who gets the blame? Where does this leave you in the title race? Where does this leave Philippe Clement? Where does it leave you ahead of the Celtic game just around the corner? But Motherwell first. So many talking points from this weekend, so please do get the calls in right now. Just indulge me before we go any further, because I wasn't here yesterday.
Yeah.
I genuinely don't know. I don't know if I'm about to ridicule you or not. What was your prediction for St Mirren against Rangers?
I took Rangers to win 2-0.
Not that controversial. I was hoping it was going to be a 5 or something and we could really... but safe to say, I mean, Philippe Clement says he didn't see it coming.
He shouldn't have said that, incidentally. I don't think, when you're the manager, don't say, "I didn't see it coming." You're the manager, you're supposed to see things coming.
Yeah, well, let's get thoughts of some Rangers fans then. I can see the phone lines lighting up. Keep them coming with Thomas and Barhead kicking it all off. Thomas, how's it going?
It was already up to about half perfect, I think.
Christmas ruined?
Yes, well, not ruined exactly, but realisation again struck in again. Hugh made a great point there just before you put me on, and that is Clement saying, "I never saw this coming," and when in point of fact he should see it coming. His post-match interviews are becoming more and more embarrassing, and I think that one is just about top of the league, which unfortunately he's not. It's the same, it's two steps. We were all thinking this was, we've turned the corner. Because what, 3 wins in a row or something,
and 4.
A draw with 4 wins in a row and a draw with Spurs. It's not good enough. It's 2 steps forward, 1 step back. Back to the same thing. He's saying, "Oh, we're slow starters." How many times has he said that this season? As I say, his post-match interviews are embarrassing. We are slow starters. Why is he not sorting it out? His back line, I don't know if Jack Butland has lost confidence and he's ever changing back 4. But I don't know what's happened to him this season. You know, he was a top keeper by a mile in the league last season. This season, he's ordinary at best. Again, the back 4 chopping and changing isn't working. His squad rotation, I know that Nico Raskin was one booking away from missing the Celtic game, but the Celtic game doesn't matter now because he didn't start against St Mirren, and him and Hadji have been 2 of our top performers. You can't say I won't play, you know, prioritise games. The most important game is your next one. You've got to win the next one. And he's failed to do that again. Again, tactics were, the second half kicked off okay, but again, just falling onto the back foot again. And I think They won't sack him in the next week. But if Celtic do anything, if Rangers do anything other than beat Celtic, then he should be out the door, because that's, you now 12 at least or 14 points behind Celtic, and you're just going into the new year.
What do you think, Scott? Was yesterday that damaging for Philippe Clement?
Yeah, I think it just puts him back in the predicament that we all felt he was in about 3 weeks ago. Obviously, up until the Spurs and the Celtic games, I feel for him in terms of taking John Souter, who for me has been Rangers' best defender this season and the real leader in that back line out your team. It does have an impact when you don't have guys who can come in and of the same quality on the ball, and maybe with the leadership skills. I think Balogun going off as well, you're then left with a makeshift back four, and you definitely seen that. They really struggled with St Mirren's physicality, which they do bring. And for me, it is a tough game any time you play St Mirren at their home patch. So for me, it was a game where they had to dig deep. I felt when obviously Danilo gets equaliser, Rangers would go on and win it, but St Mirren didn't hand back. They went to win the game and they got their just reward again from poor defending. Three Rangers players around a young gap, leaving the space in the middle of the park, and ultimately defensive errors have cost them.
There's so much that's unsatisfactory. The away record is unsatisfactory. They've lost to Celtic, to Aberdeen, to Kilmarnock, now to St Mirren. 4 of 8 games lost on the road. At Celtic or Rangers, you can't have that. And Thomas has taken us all back to square one, because he's criticising the chopping and changing that goes on, and I know that he's been unlucky, Clement, in terms of injury, and Balogun is the latest concern for him. But after those 4 successful matches on the spin, last night was a real setback for him. And you know, Thomas is right, as a Rangers fan, he'll be concentrating on the Celtic game. However, if anything happens at Motherwell, I shudder to think what Ibrox will be like when Celtic go there.
I mean, Thomas, that away record that Hugh rhymes off is quite damning. Is that the bit that maybe Rangers fans are saying to Philippe Clement, well, you know, you should have seen this coming? Yes, they went to Ross County and won, but it now looks like that was the outlier rather than a turning point. It looks like the away venues are still proving to be a real challenge.
The away venues, but again, the home venues are proving a challenge as well, because obviously going to every home game, the lower home record is much better than the away record. If we're not the lowest scoring, we're one of the lowest scoring teams in the Premier League.
Second lowest away from home, I think it is.
Second lowest away from home. And again, at home, we've had one good victory, but every week, every game, you're sitting in your seat and your heart's in your mouth at the home games. And we've rode our luck so many times where we've won a game and maybe with another twist of luck, we could have lost the same game. The results are bad away from home, but the performances at home leave a lot to be desired too.
Thomas, would you have a criticism of the players? Because Philippe Clement said they lacked intensity. How can you lack intensity when you're that far behind Celtic and you know that Celtic have won 4-0 in the afternoon, and you've got to address that situation? Because when you kick off against St Mirren, you're 12 points behind Celtic in the league. How can those players lack intensity?
If your manager was Alex Ferguson, Walter Smith or Jock Stein, would your players lack intensity?
Fair point.
I think a key factor in that is that Raskin has actually been the player who's set the tone for the intensity of Rangers over the last few weeks. When you take him out the side, you should be expecting Conor Barron to go in and replicate the intensity. First of all, for me, I don't think he's as good as Raskin on the ball, but the fact that he was hooked at half-time and replaced tells you everything.
Where do you stand on this moment? Because obviously we can only speak with the benefit of hindsight. And had Rangers won the game 2-0, but Nicholas Raskin started, got a daft booking and was then suspended for the Celtic game, people would say, oh, we didn't need him in this game, should have rotated him, shouldn't take the risk. But I also don't think Thomas is wrong to say
it's a tough one.
The next one's the most important, and now the Celtic game matters potentially a lot less than it could have done. So
the benefit of hindsight, isn't it?
What do you think? Is that a mistake from Philippe Clement? Do you just need to put Nicholas Raskin in yesterday?
Put him in and just set the tone to start with. If you can see he's on the verge of maybe getting a book, and then you can take him off. But the intensity is set from the first minute. Rangers didn't have that from the get-go yesterday, and that was the difference between him playing in that position and Conor Barron.
Rangers' obligation yesterday, to my way of thinking, was to leave Paisley and Motherwell no worse off than being 9 points behind Celtic, so that when Celtic go to Ibrox, and if Rangers were to win the game, then everyone says, oh, here we go, we've got a race back on. But they've given it away. They've given away that kind of advantage because they've lost at St Mirren and now Celtic are 12 points ahead. They've got to negotiate Motherwell, or it'd be frightening to think of Rangers going into a Celtic game 15 points behind.
Thomas, you mentioned Jack Butland. You think there's been a drop off. Is that starting to be a big concern for you, or is it not at that stage yet?
It's a big concern, in as much as the defence has been suspect for years. But last season you had faith because you knew that your number one was probably one of the top two keepers in the league, and that he would make the saves. He bailed out the back four God knows how many times last season. This season you're not as confident with him, especially at cross balls. And Jack Butland last season would never have given away that penalty. That showed a total lack of faith in his back four. Now, I know that we've lost Balogun, and I know that the other boy that was on loan, he's away back to Holland. Mm-hmm. But again, you're looking, we did recruit a centre-half. Well, I'll rephrase that. We recruited someone masquerading as a centre-half, and that was from Clement's team, and that's proper. Now, he's a bomb scare. He nearly gave away a goal. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember right, it was his mistake that led to Butland giving away the penalty. So he's had a chance to recruit centre-halves, and he's failed in that one. He knew what was he was coming into, the likes of Cyril Dessers up front. Yes, OK, we've signed this Ikeman who's looking as if he's OK, but we needed somebody to hit the ground running. I'm not a great believer in Shankman as the saviour. You know, even last season I wasn't thinking that. But he should have been getting a centre-forward that was going to hit the ground running when he had Danilo out. Ikeman is a project, and Dessers not firing on all cylinders at any given time.
Whereas, look, the manager always carries the can, Scott, for sure, but he was quick, to point out about the mistakes. It is verging on sort of inexplicable, really, for Jack Butland. Doesn't look like anyone can do that. I guess a loss of judgment or whatever, rush of blood to the head, call it what you want. Maybe it's a few sleepless nights having had a new arrival in the house. We've been there. But it's sort of, that must be hard to take, that as a manager. I'm not for a second saying Philippe Clement's not done anything wrong and doesn't take some blame, but it's one of those ones you can't really legislate for, can you?
No, you can't. I think, as we can say, he doesn't have faith in the guys in front of him. That's just a pure decision by Jack Butland on his own accord. He sees the ball coming, proper's getting round goal side, just let him defend, as Hugh said at the top of the show. If he does get beat, then you've got a chance to make a save. He makes... It's just a moment of madness in my eyes, to be honest. He comes out, he clatters him, and he'll know as soon as he could tell as soon as he'd done it. He knew it was a huge mistake. That's one of the ones where the goalkeeper thinks, I'm going to be sweeper, keeper, come out, take everything, and listen, he's sent into the ball, and it put Rangers under real pressure for most of the game.
A word on St Mirren, because I said that this is the way of the world in this part of the country. It all will be about Rangers' failings.
Tough game.
But St Mirren are the exact team that you know... will take advantage of this stuff if Rangers do make mistakes, or if Rangers aren't at it. In fact, St Mirren make you do those things.
It was a terrific night for Stephen Robinson on a personal basis. His game management was terrific. His substitutions were spot on. The winning goal is created and executed by three subs. So everything that Stephen touched last night turned it to gold dust. And when Danilo scores to make it 1-1, you think, they're in bother now, St Mirren. But they were the team who went on from there, and Rangers regressed from there. Personal triumph for him, and once again, young Evan Mooney, 17. The delicate touch to set up the winning goal. Two 17-year-olds, you're just showing off now, Stephen, frankly.
Does it feel like all of the progress in the last couple of months has been undone, Thomas, or is that maybe just the kind of knee-jerk bit the day after?
No, again, any team, and Rangers and Celtic should not class themselves as any team, but any team, Aberdeen proved it, can have a run of four wins. St Mirren are proving it just now. Any team can have a run of four wins. That's not turning a corner for Rangers or Celtic. That's expected. That's the minimum requirement, is to go and win every game. We're only doing what St Mirren are doing, what Aberdeen did earlier in the season. And it's about, can you maintain that? And the answer is no. And even when we're on that four-game run, again, at home, it was sometimes painful to watch. So, no, I'm expecting not four games win to be a turnaround. I'm expecting to have won last night, that would be five, beat Motherwell, beat Celtic, 6 points behind, then talk about turning a corner. Not when you've not beaten anybody, with all due respect, anybody of note.
That's a fair way of looking at it for some people, I think, because maybe there's a natural reaction here where the bar at the start of the season was set so low, so then there is an improvement, but then maybe people got carried away.
Yeah.
You know, Spurs was a good performance, didn't win the game. Rangers, Celtic was a good performance, didn't win the game, and of course overshadowed by you-know-what.
Yeah.
So maybe now, does yesterday kind of teach you a lesson, as Thomas puts it, to not
Thomas put it perfectly. You know, that's a minimum requirement if you're Celtic or Rangers to win four games in the bounce. I go back to the night with Dundee United game at Ibrox, 1-1, terrible performance, Ibrox emptying. Philippe Clement's back there now, because they haven't kicked on in the way that they should have done.
Do you think he's right back to that moment?
I think he's got, if anything happens at Motherwell, it's crisis time. Not that it's not crisis time already, but if he drops any more points at Motherwell and then loses to Celtic, he's on his own.
For me, I just think that's the type of performance last night, and amongst winning four in a row, is realistically where Rangers are at this moment with this squad. That's just my opinion, how I see it. I've seen these sort of performances time and time again over since August. Yes, you do see a change in performance, I think, for the first time, but you always know that hasty performance is in there, which we've seen last night. So for me, I think it's a more realistic face of what Rangers are at this moment.
Do you think this is what Rangers are, essentially? A team
at this moment,
can obviously go on a decent-ish run, but ultimately that's the exception to the rule.
Yeah,
rather than it being the other way around.
Interesting.
Thank you very much to was it Thomas?
Thomas,
his name
Thomas
dropped out my head. Sorry, Thomas. 01419511025. It's a perfect time to call. What did you make of it in Paisley last night or elsewhere? Because it was all happening yesterday. Give us a call and we'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here. I know it's that time. Nobody knows what day of the week it is and all that stuff, but it is, for Super Scoreboard purposes, just your normal Friday night, and we've got games to look back on rather than look forward to. It was a sensational day in the Premiership. Drama, talking points, excitement, controversy, all over the place. So whatever game you were involved in, please pick up that phone and let us know. Maybe you've never phoned before. What an ideal time to do it. You've had your feet up, you're maybe off work, get the new slippers on, you know, firing into the selection boxes. Why not give Hugh Keevans a call and really round off your festive period, just like Lisa has done in Dalry. How's it going, Lisa?
Very well, thank you. Good evening, chaps. How's it going?
All good in here. Evening, what are you thinking tonight?
I was at the St Mirren game last night at St Mirren Supporter, and I just want to say how well the team actually played. All we've been hearing since the game is how poor Rangers were and how Rangers should have won. I just think there's not enough emphasis on how good the boys actually played for themselves, to be fair.
On a very good run as well, Lisa, aren't you?
Yeah, brilliant at the moment, aye. And the second goal was an absolute peach, to be fair.
It was. I can't remember which one of you two. Overlooked it for goal of the day, and then you picked it again. It was. There's no two ways about it, because it's got a bit of everything about it, doesn't it? In terms of the desire from Mayunga to win it back, Mooney holding it up, and then the finish. It's very easy for them at any stage, never mind at that stage in the game, to fly over the stand.
Honestly, yeah. The determination in the players last night was it was really, really amazing to watch.
You know, we talk about young players and game time in the Premiership, and you know, to win a game like that with 2 17-year-olds on the park is very much to Stephen Robinson's credit and everyone at St Mirren.
That's what happens when you get opportunity. Yeah,
yeah.
We've been crying out for it.
Well, Evan Mooney, you know, I know he tends to get the headlines because he scored, and then last night he set up the winning goal. But Callum Penman as well, you know, it's such a great thing for them, and all credit to them. You know, Lisa, it's an old story. If Celtic or Rangers lose, everything goes towards Celtic and Rangers. How did that happen? Yeah. As if the other team have no right to win against Celtic or Rangers. But that's where we are. And it doesn't take away one iota of credit from Stephen Robinson and the St Mirren team.
Did you sense it, Lisa? You know that Rangers, there is still a fragility there that you could, you're almost the perfect team at times to take advantage of that stuff, aren't you?
Absolutely, and you could tell after the first goal that Rangers were starting to panic a little bit. Near the end, when we did score the second goal, it was, you should have seen them. Obviously, you did because you were watching it. But they were total scrambling, like just trying whatever they could. You could see the panic set in, and then the fans started leaving before the game had finished. And I just feel that they kind of look at us. A lot of the teams look at us as if we're. No, really, we shouldn't really be in that league, and we're no as good as the rest of them. And sometimes I just think it's good to remind folk. But
I like some of the stories in there as well. Look at Ocean Smith.
Yeah,
you know, scored a double on the opening day, then only plays, I think it's another 6 league games, not really involved as much. Scores the winner from the free kick at Ross County. Composure from the penalty yesterday, back to back. You know, it's a squad that feels like it all really contributes, doesn't it?
Yeah. Olisanya as well, doing countless runs into the channels, putting Rangers defenders under constant pressure. Obviously the impact of the subs. Just want to touch on the Boyd Munch goal and Mooney's impact on it. See, if he doesn't weight that perfectly, Boyd Munch doesn't get to strike the ball at that. I know it looks like it's just a layoff, but the weight's so crucial to be able to strike through the ball at that. If that's a wee bit too heavy, he needs to take an extra touch and Rangers get back to it. So that, for me, the wee fine details are difference in games at that, and between getting a draw and winning.
And also I think Alec Gogic is a different class. He's the man you want behind, yeah, with you in the trenches.
He's like that
in training.
Yeah,
Alec Gogic, I played with him at Hibs. He's like that in training, no inch given. So yeah, I think he can give himself a massive pat in the back. But like you said, Gordon, I think as a squad they have players who came on, and Stephen Robinson demands that off all of them.
Brilliant, thank you very much to Lisa, St Mirren fan. Happy, clearly, with the result. Any other St Mirren fans want to join in, or you want to go back to the inquest side of things with your Rangers fans? Where did it go wrong? Where does it leave Philippe Clement? Where does it leave the title race? All that sort of stuff. Give us a call right now if you can, please. 01419511025. Let's hear from the Rangers manager. He says he did not see the below par first half performance coming, and said he was angry at half time during the loss in Paisley.
They didn't give it in the first half. That's clear. We lost the game there. That's why I was so angry at halftime also. That we played far below our level in every sense, on the ball, without the ball, in the duels, in movements, in everything. I made 2 changes, and it's not about the 2 guys. It was all team. I could have made 8 or 9 changes maybe. And there you lose the game. It's not a tactical thing, because there was no big change in tactics in the second half or something. It's about quality. That moment, intensity, and that's the frustrating part, that I didn't see that one coming, or nobody saw that one coming, about if you see the consistency over the last 2 months. So yeah, that's something to analyze deeply as a squad, how it can happen. We cannot play like we played in the first half. That's below level, it's below par for everybody in the team. That's not the mentality you can accept at Rangers. That's why I was so angry at halftime also.
Thomas, the first caller, mentioned that wouldn't happen if Alec Ferguson was the manager. Are the Rangers players, I simply throw the question out there, are the Rangers players totally buying into Philippe Clement?
I suppose his answer is kind of in there, Scott. Like it was better in the second half. So I'm not saying that is enough to go and shout.
It was a reaction.
The rooftops about, but there was a reaction there, I think we should acknowledge.
Yep. I think for me, when you go to a place to play a side like St Mirren, who are very physical and very combative, especially in the midfield, if you don't win your duels and you can't match their intensity, because they don't just let you turn up and stroke the ball about and it didn't hit, you're going to find it very difficult to get a result against them.
Let's go back to the phones, where Bill is waiting for us. How's it going, Bill?
That's fine, thank you very much.
What's on your mind tonight?
Well, there's a lot of speculation about how Rangers are playing, but I've got a theory, and I think that there's too many Rangers players have got a sort of a kind of latent overconfidence or latent arrogance when it comes to playing local teams.
Do you think they take them for granted, to underestimate them, sort of thing?
Aye, well, if you remember the Tottenham game, they played well. Against Celtic, they played well. So when it comes to the big games, and in Europe, they've been playing well. But when it comes to the sort of what they think is mundane games, they let themselves down. And I think it's a kind of an arrogance that they don't even realise they've got some of them. And yesterday was a prime example. They very poor in the first half, scored a good goal, and then they sort of sit back as if they've done enough.
Well, again, I would have to ask the question, how can you be complacent
entirely
when you're so far behind Celtic? And I know that they haven't been here for a long, long time, but they must have been in the city of Glasgow long enough to know about the intensity of this rivalry.
Where does this one leave the manager, Bill?
A very difficult place. I'm not so sure I think as badly about him as a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of the players are letting themselves down. And I know they don't have a leader on the team, on the park either, which I think is missing. I mean, I think Suter's a big loss, to be honest. He was getting better and better, and then all of a sudden the boy's injured and he's out.
Is that a worry for you if you had, presumably, at least for the next game, add Leon Balogun to that?
Well, personally, it's not a worry, but I know where you're coming from. No, I can't understand why they can build themselves up for the big games, and yet, I mean, against Kilmarnock early in the season was the worst game of football that anybody ever saw, I think. And some of their performances have been absolutely dreadful. So why as Hugh Keevan said, why can they not get themselves up for these games?
I think that is what you've played, Scott. These are the bits that I always think maybe us or fans or people on the outside get wrong, because I'm sure you players would say that you're always up for it, and it's not nothing like that, and sometimes it just doesn't click or whatever reason.
I think the Tottenham and the Celtic game is, you got to take them in isolation in terms of the type of games. Are a European game against a side in England who are expected to beat you, so you can naturally raise your game. The adrenaline's different for a game away to St Mirren. It then comes down to how successful do you want to be in a team like Glasgow Rangers. Do you want to be someone who just comes in and out, or do you want to be there long term? That then comes down to mentality, and the players who usually sustain careers at these sorts of clubs like Rangers and Celtic are the ones who mentally can self-motivate and get them and bring that intensity to every game. Do I see a Rangers squad filled with players of that mentality? No, I don't. And I think that is why you see these changes in performance first and foremost, which then lead to bad results like last night.
Sort of on that theme, just because talking about where the manager is and what the players need to do, and have you got players who've got appropriate mentality, let me read a tweet from Big Mo and put this point to you, where he says Clement needs to go before January, before the market opens, because the thought of him signing new players is terrifying. If he thinks the likes of Barami is what Rangers need, he's more deluded than what we think. Is it that when you're criticising any manager at this time of year, is that a difficult one? Because really, if he's the manager when the January window opens, then he kind of needs to be out when it closes. That's the way in the foot not to.
This is such a volatile city that My thoughts go no further than January 2. And if we were to lose to Celtic, it would be 7 in a row against Celtic that he had lost. And at that point, the drama deepens. And
that would need to be done really swiftly, Hugh, if that's the route that we're going to go down, and say that Clement wasn't the man. Say this.
Yeah. I mean, I've nothing to suggest that the thought has even crossed the mind of Patrick Stewart, the new chief executive, but he's been at Man United and he knows how big clubs work in a two-team city.
Is it let's be honest, is it just a really delicate balance? Because we always do this when there's a bad result. There obviously remains the possibility that he wins at Fir Park and beats Celtic at Ibrox. So,
all hypothetical.
But is it just going to remain that delicate for a while?
That's the volatility of the situation. I think whatever happens at Motherwell will happen. But if he loses to Celtic at Ibrox, I think it's a watershed moment for him.
Thank you to Bill. Good time to call as well to join in on the discussions. 01419511025. It can be about a different game this weekend. Of course, Celtic fans, what jumped out at you, Motherwell fans as well, from that meeting? Anything else? Killy fans, would love to hear from you. What a win that was. Outstanding result at home to Aberdeen. Give us a call. We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here. Give us a call on the usual number or send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. Let's bring in Graham, who's a Rangers fan. How are you, Graham?
Aye, not too bad. How's yourself, panel? First time caller?
Oh, good. I always like it when people call for the first time. Either you're just really bored on your Christmas holidays or your team annoyed you that much yesterday that it tipped you over the edge.
Aye, well, bored as well, sitting in work, and I thought I'd give you a call just to discuss the
game. Your boss isn't listening.
Hopefully not. To discuss basically yesterday's performance with Rangers against St Mirren, and obviously the John Souter and Balogun injuries going forward for the Motherwell game, that's the performance yesterday, I think, wasn't up to standard. A dreadful performance, lackadaisical as you would call it, for Rangers. How I wouldn't take any credit away from St Mirren. I thought they were very, very well set out in the pitch to play. I watched the game. I thought the game was really well. I thought St Mirren were set up correctly and they went for it and they took the full 3 points. But the point I was phoning for the night was the Balogun injury and the Souter injury going forward for the Motherwell game and the Celtic game. I think that's a massive worry for Rangers. I don't know what Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen and yourself have to talk about that, if you have any light on it.
I mean, it's unavoidable. It's football. It happens. It happens normally at the most inopportune moment.
I think you forget. Someone alluded to it earlier, but Casanueiro would be in that bracket as well. We can forget about him because we didn't see too much of him.
So, you know, as continental managers, I want to say this is football. And, you know, it will have to be Robin proper, although, you know, he still looks shaky. And it'll have to be Dujon Sterling, you'd imagine.
Yeah, it will be proper and Sterling. I think that's one of the players that can come in and probably play that position for Rangers. I think no question how big a loss the two players are. Obviously going into Motherwell and maybe even more so into the Celtic game. But at this moment in time, Rangers can only look to the next game and trying to win that.
How do you think Dujon Sterling did? Because Philippe Clement, I think, said he was happy with the performance, but he did sort of name drop him, if you like, in the mistake when he gives the ball away for the winning goal.
Yeah, he dwells on it, and obviously Unger takes full advantage of that at the time. I thought he'd done okay. I think when you're trying to replace someone like John Souter and the quality that he does bring to this Rangers side, he's not going to give you that. He's a completely different player, different profile. I think Balogun as well, his aggressiveness, and he is good from obviously defending set pieces, and would have handled some of the St Mirren players who they had up front in terms of physical capability a lot better than which Robin Proper did and showed in the game. So I think losing the two players is a huge loss, and that's when you look at the squad depth between Rangers and Celtic. Rangers don't have the players
Graham,
to come in.
Sorry, I was going to ask Graham, how did you feel about the title race before yesterday? Were you one that was getting a little bit excited, maybe thinking, you know, what if, can we cut the gap to 6 points on January 2nd? And how did you feel about it now?
I would have said I did. The butterflies inside were moving, but then obviously watching Celtic's performance as well, that was, they've went out and done that again against Motherwell. But I think it's done now, isn't it? So it's never, we're never going to catch them. So, but
I mean, Hugh, has it? What specific damage has last night done?
It's given up the little bit of comfort that Rangers had. The comfort that if they did no damage against St Mirren and Motherwell, they would get Celtic at Ibrox, perhaps 9 points between the teams. Celtic, Motherwell at home, then St Johnstone at home. You would not expect Celtic to drop anything. But that little bit of comfort has gone now, because it's not 9 points. When Celtic go to Ibrox, it'll be 12 points. And it might even be worse if Rangers don't look after themselves at Motherwell. And the likes of Dujon Sterling and Robin Proper are going to have to deal with an level of intensity and scrutiny coming from the Rangers fans on Derby Day, because there are no Celtic fans there. So the Rangers fans, and this is the way it goes when matters are poised as they are just now, the Rangers fans are looking at Proper and Sterling and demanding that there are no mistakes. And how can you guarantee no mistakes in football, Scott?
No, you can't. I think if you're Stuart Kettlewell looking ahead to Sunday's game, the first thing you're going to do is to set your team up to ask questions of that back four. And Jack Butland, obviously, after the howler that he made last night. So it pretty much speaks for itself. Stuart Kettlewell, get the ball wide and put balls and make Rangers defend at the times that they can.
Thanks to Graham calling for the first time. Hopefully he'll do it again sometime. Graham, let's squeeze in Gary before the news. What's your take on it all, Gary?
All right, guys. Happy Merry Christmas to you.
Same to you.
Merry Christmas, Gary.
Yeah, I was just wanting to say about Flamie Clement. Just his comments and stuff like that. It shouldn't take a reaction in the second half for the players to perform. He already knew the score with Aberdeen and Celtic, so that should be the players should be straight away, as soon as kick off, they should be at St Mirren straight away, rather than just waiting for half time. I mean, that's just as a manager saying stuff like that, that's shocking.
I think that it's leading towards temperamental weakness. Okay, you can lose at Celtic Park. Celtic have got a better squad than Rangers have. You can lose at Aberdeen. At that time, Aberdeen were moving very nicely and the game was hyped up. But Rangers lost. But they were temperamentally weak at Rugby Park, temperamentally weak against St Mirren. And that's a clear problem, because they can't exist in a bubble. They live in Glasgow, work in Glasgow, and understand the rivalry between Celtic and Rangers, and they're not delivering when they are miles behind in the title race, and that has to be the number one worry.
It is the way it's stacked up, Scott. As Hugh points to a few of them, even St Mirren, there's no shame in going there and not winning the game. It is a tough place to go.
Yep.
Obviously, Celtic Park and Pittodrie at the time would fall into that, but it's just the way it's stacked up for Rangers. You look at the away run, it's this season 1-3, drawn 1, lost 4, scored 7, conceded 8. That there's no real way of shining that up if you're Philippe Clement. But it was because I actually went and spoke to him today as well.
Yep.
And did another interview where we kind of tried to talk about the away form, but he didn't really agree that it was an issue.
He didn't agree that?
No, not really. That'd be the best way of putting it.
That's strange in itself though, Gordon.
If you buy into his theory, and not everybody does accept this, but if you buy into his explanation that this is a young team, people keep saying it's not, I get that, or that it's a new team and they're learning, then it would stand to reason that away games like St Mirren, like Rugby Park,
you can lose,
are difficult, and that might be the next step that they need to add. But he wouldn't even go as far as that. He basically just thought that it was, you know, the second half yesterday, as an example, shows that there isn't an issue away from home. But I think those stats might argue with that.
Yeah, the stats, that doesn't back up to what he's saying. I think if you're Rangers manager, you can't be using halves as being good enough. That's no question. That won't stand up to the fans, first and foremost, whose eyes don't deceive them. You do the eye test at the game yesterday. Rangers weren't on it. They didn't win their individual battles, and as a team, didn't perform. So there's for me, you can't come out and say that the first half, the second half was good enough.
That's why I think he's in bother.
Yeah.
Is he not getting this? Is he not understanding this fully?
By now, he needs to be getting this.
Yeah. Rangers manager can't dismiss the notion that away form is a problem when he's lost 50% of his matches away from home. You have to be more honest with the fans, and you speak to the fans through the press. You have to be more honest with the press. And to dismiss that particular issue, for me, would be a concern.
Where does this leave everything in the big picture, Gary? The title race, the way the fans feel about the manager?
Well, I think it's just time for him to go. Obviously the title's gone now. Everyone's thinking, you know, maybe when Celtic come to Ibrox, it could go to nine points, maybe go to six, or could go to 12. But even now, it's just when it comes to the split of the six, I think Celtic will be like at least 20 points, even further than that. I think that we should be looking at bringing in somebody. The season's gone, so I think we should be bringing in somebody, because just to start something fresh, because it's gone now. It's time to move on.
Well, thank you very much. We'll move on in our sense of the word as well. Thank you very much to Gary. It's time for us to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to take on Hugh Keevans or Scott Allen and win yourself a signed ball. You're running out of chances to win in 2024. Just a couple of games left, so let's see if we can get a victory for the listeners tonight. 0141 951 1025 and the lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here, looking back on the Boxing Day fixtures and anything else that you want to get off your chest. We've done a fair bit from Paisley, as I suspected we might. What about Celtic Park as an example from yesterday? Celtic fans, what jumped out for you? Good, bad, indifferent, refereeing decisions, any other talking points that you wish? Your position's been strengthened at the top, 12 points now by late December. How are you feeling about it all? We can take your calls once we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, it is Beat the Pundit time. That's where the signed ball goes up for grabs, but more importantly, the bragging rights. If you can beat Hugh Keevans or Scott Allen, you're sitting there right with the 50% win record. No one wants that. 1-3, lost 3 for you, Scott Allen, according to my list. He looks like he's doubting those numbers.
Yeah.
Apparently a win for Hugh would give him breathing space ahead of Gordon DL in 7th place.
Oh well,
I'm not sure if that's much to write home about. But David's in Shettleston. How's it going, David?
Not bad, Gordon, thanks. Yeah, you?
Yeah, good here, thank you. Would this be your debut on Beat the Pundit?
Yep, certainly would.
Right, okay. How's the Christmas been?
Not eventful, but plenty of family stuff and back to work today, but now off until next Friday. So happy
days. Back for one day.
Yep, one day.
Don't know about that. You didn't do much today, did you?
Absolutely not. I was there in body rather than spirit.
The working equivalent of when they brought the TV in at school and you just got your feet up. That's what David did today, I have to say. But anyway, right, let's get back to business, because we're officially out of the Christmas period on Beat the Pundit, in the sense that I now no longer have the chocolate coin. Ah. Just got a regular coin.
Did you eat it?
Jay, the producer, ate it. He's been eyeing it up for weeks, even though it's covered in sellotape and felt tip pen and stuff like that. And we're also done with the £10 per correct answer for the listener to Cash for Kids. Thanks to Cairnhill Steel Structures, we raised over £600. So it was a brilliant gesture from the team there. David, heads it will be Hugh Keevans, and tails it will be Scott Allen. And it is heads. Shug. Against David. So what we do here is give Hugh something else to listen to. 30 seconds we'll put on the clock, David. You just answer as many as you can, And if you want to move on to the next one by passing, you are more than welcome. Okay?
Okay, doke.
Let's do it then. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who scored the winner for St Mirren yesterday?
Caelan Boyd-Munn.
How many goals were scored in total in the Premiership yesterday? 18, 19 or 20?
20.
On what date did Celtic win the European Cup in 1967?
25th of May.
Who are top of Scottish League 2?
Pass.
Which current Premiership side were the first ever to win the Scottish Cup?
Aberdeen.
What number represents the time of two football matches and the highest score in a single turn of darts?
180.
Name any player mentioned in the Hearts song.
Pass.
Okay, let's bring back Shug. Can you hear us?
I would listen to Club Tropicana, but that would be one of your favourites, wouldn't it?
I was just thinking of me and you and Ibiza here.
Said no one ever. Literally the first time that sentence has been issued. Speaking of which, this reminds me. You'll see where I'm going with this, Ibiza and you and whatever. I only recently told Scott he'd never heard the story about the time that you said you went to Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I just can't remember if I'm allowed to repeat it.
Oh, that one.
When you said you went to Wimbledon.
But I was on.
On your expenses.
Yeah, but I used the newspaper man's term.
But the abbreviation you used for expenses means something entirely different.
Yeah.
To us.
This happened in the George Bowie programme.
And the thought of you... bouncing round Wimbledon.
I'll tell you the next commercial break.
You can imagine it. I think I'm allowed to say it, but I just don't want to get anyone in trouble. Family show. Right, Hugh, you ready?
I am.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who scored the winner for St Mirren yesterday?
Boyd Munns.
How many goals were scored in total yesterday? 18, 19 or 20?
20.
In the Premiership. On what date did Celtic win the European Cup in 1967?
25th May.
Who is top of League 2?
Arbroath.
Which current Premiership side were the first side to win the Scottish Cup?
Rangers.
What number represents the time of two football matches and the highest score in a single turn of darts?
Don't know. Pass.
Name any player mentioned in the Hearts song.
Dave McKay.
Okay. What are you thinking, David?
Score draw, but I've no idea.
They're quite tricky some there.
A few hard ones in there.
A few hard ones. Great start from both of you. Caelan Boyd-Munns. Great goal as well as it was. You both knew 20 goals in the Premiership yesterday. Great day. You both knew 25th of May 1967. None of you knew who's top of League 2, Scott Allen. I mean, you play in League 1. I don't know why I think you should know this, but...
Peterhead.
It is Peterhead. None of you got that one. So 3-3. Which current Premiership side were the first side to win the Scottish Cup? Is that all of the, just all of the current Premiership sides? I would imagine Hibs, apparently.
Hibs?
Mm. Yeah. Fair enough.
Fair enough, exactly. Didn't you know that?
No.
There we go. Disappointed in you here. I think you've just glazed over.
Yeah.
What number represents the time of two football matches and the highest score on a single turn of darts?
Yeah.
I was disappointed you didn't say that in the darts fashion. But it is 180 and David got it and moves one in front. Name any player mentioned in the Hearts song. Massey, Walker, Bald and the Mackay, which I'm assuming is the Mackay you mentioned.
Dave Mackay, yeah, legend.
So we'll certainly go for that. So it's an equaliser for Hugh Keevans, which means we go to a tiebreaker. Ooh. Here's the deal, David. I'm going to ask the question. I will get Hugh to write his answer down and then invite you to give me your attempt, okay?
Yep.
Right, 30 seconds, what I'm on about. How many different teams have won the Scottish Cup? Write it down, Hugh. How many different teams have won the Scottish Cup? Okay, I can see Hugh's answer. What are you going for, David?
25.
Okay, Hugh says 30. David says 25. One of you has got it on the nose.
Oh.
How exciting. One of you has got it bang on. And I can tell you the signed ball is heading to Shettleston. Well done, David. 25. Tell me you didn't know that off by heart.
Even a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and again.
Exactly. 25, bang on. And by the way, I think you guessed the total number of goals yesterday as well, didn't you?
Oh, 100%. We just went for the highest, to be honest.
Your luck is obviously in, David. Are you a Celtic fan?
I am, yep.
What did you make of the weekend yesterday? It's not even the weekend, yesterday.
First half a bit slow. I think a bit kind of Motherwell set up well and obviously were kind of frustrating. I think the penalty obviously changes the game. To be honest, I'm not convinced it was a penalty. To be fair, looking at the obviously images that I've seen and whatnot, but we'll take it. It's like an egg after all, hard or soft, it's still a penalty.
I am fascinated by the penalty debate because it took a new twist for me today. So yeah, you know how I feel generally about issues claret and amber, but I like to think being in this role you can try and look at things neutrally. Thought it was extremely soft for being generous at the start. I'll admit that.
Me too.
At the game. Saw it back, didn't really see enough to change my mind. Wasn't like the worst thing I had ever seen. And obviously now if there's contact, is that going to be, you know, is it going to get overturned after the ref gives it? So, you know, made my peace with all that. But I thought at the very least, Hugh, there was a good debate to be had.
Yeah.
And I could see why Stuart Kettlewell felt aggrieved. Then today the KMI panel published its findings on yesterday's incidents, and they voted 5-0 in favour of it being a penalty and didn't even think it should have been up for consideration for the panel. So I'm surprised they've gone that far.
Three was yesterday. I didn't think it was remotely a penalty kick. Neither did Gordon DL.
Oh, let me guess, Mark Wilson did. Shock.
So, you know, but very important, as David has acknowledged, very important, because Celtic were going nowhere up until then. And Arne Engels took it extremely well, changed the side of the goal that he normally puts the ball in, and it transformed Celtic. Second half, Celtic bringing on Nicholas Kuhn, Rio Hatate. And Dyson Maeda again, you know, terrific for Celtic, headed goal. But the penalty did change the course of the game.
It's difficult, Scott, because obviously I would also understand why people would say to Stuart Kettlewell, well, it was 4-0 and you're miles away from getting anything from the game. It never looked like you were. But then also understand why he would say, yeah, but you know, you want to hang it. Hanging until half time does make a difference. And
reset.
What did you make of the incident itself?
I felt it was nearly a penalty. I think
that's a new one for me. I've never heard that before. I like that.
I think if it was myself on the pitch, I would
be claiming it.
Yeah, I would definitely be claiming it.
And of course, the position at the top of the table has gotten even better. If you're a Celtic fan, that is of course up to 12 points now. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think of the old party line that there's still a lot of football to be played.
David, you're just a fan. You can say as much reckless stuff as you want. You don't need to toe the line.
No. I think we've been in this obviously situation before. You never, especially in this part of the world, you never want to brag too early, because it has a habit of coming back and biting the proverbials. But it's a really good position to be in. But a few days ago we were being told that the title race was back on, and now it's back off again. So we just need to wait and see.
Well, yesterday,
that's a fair point. David sounds quite sensible, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yesterday was the dream day for the Celtic fans. They eventually get moving and scored good goals in the second half, and then the fans go home, and almost before they get home, St Mirren are in front. And it ends in the most dramatic fashion possible. So, as I say, yesterday, and David summed it up succinctly there, the title race that was supposed to be back on is now back off again. And the big worry for the Rangers fans, and for the manager in particular, is that the situation worsens before Celtic even get to Ibrox. And then Rangers have to negotiate that game against Celtic, because the man hasn't won in 6 attempts, and if he hasn't won in 7 attempts, I'll have to trot out the old line: the man who cannot beat Celtic cannot remain as the Rangers manager.
Scott, I suppose, though, just in case you'd forgotten the size of challenge that faces teams like Motherwell, Celtic turn to the bench and bring on Kyogo, Kuhn and Hatate. 2 of them score, you know, not only sending on subs to try and just see out the game, but turn it into a bit of a, you know, a heavy one. And in fact, I think there's a good save from Aston Oxborough late on. It could have ended up, you know, really convincing because of the way Celtic stepped it up in the second half.
Yeah, there was a moment.
Sorry, it was convincing, but you know what I mean. Even
there was
more.
A moment as well, I think, where the ball went into Kyogo, he does the flick, and then Kuhn sets up Hatate, and he should maybe hit it first time, which could have been a fantastic goal. I think, listen, that's the quality that Celtic can bring on in the game. I think for me, Kuhn, in terms of his impact, for me, player of the season so far. The impact when he comes on compared to Yang for me was very telling, especially in the second half. I think Yang for me, because he's not naturally left footed and he doesn't come in inside the pitch as much as Kuhn does, it does close off a lot of options. When Kuhn comes on, Tony Ralston, any time the ball went to Kuhn, he's bombing on, he's getting into deep areas and causing all sorts of problems.
What did you think about Yang, David? Because I was working at the game and you could almost sense the frustration all round when nothing was coming off for him, and fans, I don't think they gave him a particularly hard time, but you could sense they were a bit restless.
I'm yet to be convinced, but obviously you're still fairly young, coming over from the other side of the world. You can see there's a bit of talent with him, but I just think he's maybe, I don't know if he's just quite at the level that we would probably want. And I think you've seen that when Kuhn came on, he was a lot more kind of productive and a lot more sort of effective. But obviously Yang wins the penalty that, as I said, changes the game. So he was obviously in the right position, the right areas at the right time. So I'll trust Brendan over the 60,000 being mob at times.
I think it's an area they have to look at.
Yeah, I did say the other night though, and Scott will know this, it's, you feel sorry for wingers a bit, because there's no, you, especially at Celtic, you can't play that position safe really, because that's no. That's even worse. So he has to keep trying to take on, I think, Ewan Wilson as it was, and when that doesn't come off, it's just, it's so obvious to everybody. You know, he ends up either ran out of play or the defender got in the way, and it can't be easy. But the bottom line is, you need to sink or swim, I suppose, at that level.
For the life of me, I don't see what Brendan Rodgers sees in him. But in January, he clearly sees even less in Louis Palmer, because he never gets a look in at all, so he doesn't trust him. James Forrest, you know, we keep saying, oh, this will be his last season or whatever, but James Forrest is in the twilight of his career. So you have Forrest, Louis Palmer, Yang. It's an area where Celtic need to invest in the January window.
I mean, I suppose, Scott, depends which way you look at it. Nicholas Kuhn would be first choice there. James Forrest might be second choice there. And that means Yang's third choice. You know, if Kuhn wasn't recovering from injury, added to James Forrest, maybe you're not seeing as much of Yang anyway. How good your third choice winger going to be?
Yeah, but I would still expect Celtic to have players come through the academy who come on and light it up for the last 20 minutes in games. To be honest, I just think when you take Nicholas Kuhn's quality out, that team, and the evidence of Dundee United and Mullerwell the last two games, Yang just hasn't took his chance for me.
Yeah, there were three academy players on the pitch for Kilmarnock yesterday when they were taking Aberdeen apart. There were two teenagers in the St Mirren team when they were defeating Rangers. And like Scott, you know, I know that Celtic spend a lot of money, and the academy production line, maybe it's unfortunate, maybe the Daniel Kellys of this world move on, and the Rocco Vattas, they want to run before they can walk. Yep. But you would think there might be somebody hanging about.
David, is Yang still maybe better coming off the bench, which is, you know, difficult when clearly you're going to be needed to start games at times?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, and just to kind of touch on a point that made a minute ago, I think Tannadice was probably the last nail in the Louise Palmer coffin at the weekend there, because I just think he contributed absolutely nothing, and I think it was probably the game that you would want him to come on and actually do a turn. But Yang, I think there was a game, I think a few weeks ago, struggling to remember who it was actually, where he came on and he was really direct, he was really kind of want to commit his man and hit the byline, hit the crosses, and obviously that a kind of decent cameo against, was it Leipzig in the Champions League? So I think there's something there, but I'm not sure I'm convinced that he's quite there yet.
What do you think, Scott? Because Hughes said no, but Hughes, he's hard to please. Are you a bit like David, where you think there is still, it's not to be given up on yet?
Yeah, I wouldn't give up on him. I just think for me as a winger, listen, you have games where you can go by a guy five or six times and end games where you struggle, but then, and especially in that position of part, you've got to have a variety in your play. Can he do the give and goes when he can't physically get by someone? Can he then come inside? can he go outside? I don't think he has that about his game, whereas Nicholas Kuhn, for me, he has different ways to beat certain opponents.
Thank you very much to David, and enjoy the sign ball. That was David in Shettleston on 01419511025. Let's hear from the managers involved in that game yesterday that we were just speaking about. Brendan Rodgers, he believes the strength of depth in his squad is key to their impressive campaign so far, and is happy, of course, with the position in the table.
That's the difference with this year, is I feel I can make those changes without disrupting the way we want to play so much, and most importantly the intensity of which we want to play, so we can bring that extra spark and extra spirit into the game, which paid off for us really. This time last year we'd lost a couple of games, drew maybe three. I can't have too many complaints really. I heard someone saying the other day there's no need to panic because we drew a game. That was an interesting one. My idea is the long game. I've got to look after the whole campaign.
Draw's a disaster.
I heard someone say the other day there's no need to panic just because we drew a game. That just sounds like something you would hear on this show.
I know, but it wasn't me.
That's what I mean. I feel like that's probably a caller. I'm going to believe that. I think Brendan's a big fan of you two. I think that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When he says, I heard someone say that, I wonder where.
Well,
It's got to be here.
This is the breeding ground for stuff like that.
I take credit for a draw is a disaster, a defeat's a catastrophe. But I didn't say that after Tannadice. And when you see Dundee United's progress, and given the back four that Celtic had at Tannadice, then with the benefit of hindsight, it was a good point.
Well, Brendan, the full-time teaser's coming up next, so we've got that to look forward to. Get your calls in as well, and we'll put these two to the test after this.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen's here, so is Hugh Keevans. Give us a call. 0141 951 1025. A defeat for Hugh Keevans on Beat the Pundit tonight on the tiebreaker. Listen, you can't do much more than get it bang on the nose, like the caller did. 25 different teams.
That was fantastic.
Because you weren't even far away. I thought your 30 was going to win it. 25 different teams have won the Scottish Cup. Let me give you a full-time teaser then, a chance for you to redeem yourself. Thanks to Noah in Paisley. Can you name the last six signings Celtic have made from within the Scottish Premiership? Give me one each to kick us off.
Luke McCowan, yeah.
Mm-hmm. One more then.
Gary McKay-Steven?
Nope. Not in the last six.
Greg Taylor.
Yes, okay, we'll leave it there because you've only got four more to get, and it is a good question. I like that from Noah. If you want to submit a full-time teaser and test the pundits out, then the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. Send them in. That's a good question, that. I'm happy with it, I must say. So let's see how you get on. Graham's in Livingston. How's it going, Graham?
All right, mate. Hi. First and core.
Great to have you, Graham. What's on your mind?
Yesterday I was at the game, Celtic game, Motherwell game.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the penalty itself was probably the softest out of the three that should have been penalties, to be honest with you. I thought the first one was a handball, as I watched back the highlights. The second one, where Maeda goes for the header, he's kicked him. And the third one is a push in the back, which is a foul anywhere else in the pitch.
What was the third one?
The push Maeda's back.
Oh, in the second half.
In the second half, yes, yeah. Sir. To me, that's penalties.
I mean, I would obviously respectfully disagree, but you two might be better placed to.
Well, you obviously you're going to have that. You know what I mean? But, and I will say something, by the way, I was shocked Halliday didn't start yesterday. I couldn't believe when I read the lineup.
Doesn't
that the kind of guy you want on your side when you're going there? Do you know
but
mean?
See, when you're at his age, Graham, not allowed to play three games in a week, I think that's the problem. The old legs.
Yeah. Big distances to cover.
The old legs. Let's see if he scores and celebrates on Sunday.
The shove on Maeda. Maybe. Maybe you go to.
Maybe.
Town
right,
in
okay.
That one. But, you know.
The other ones?
Nah.
No.
None?
Not the first one.
Not at all. Because I think, again, in terms of that. The KMI panel, the first one, the ball into the box, the handball, that was assessed by the KMI panel today as well.
Yeah.
And the other two didn't even make it on to the to the list sort of thing, the nudge in the back. And the Maeda one is interesting, I think, Scott, because a lot of Celtic fans sent me that saying, you know, think this is a penalty. I actually thought the picture that Daizen Maeda posted himself, he posted a picture of it on social media, I thought that showed Tom Sparrow kicking the ball as Maeda dives in. But I mean, more than happy to be proven wrong if that's just, you know, I know still images don't tell you the full story, but what they do use them for is for point of contact. That's what they say. I don't know if you've seen it. I'll show you at the next break. But was there anything in that one?
No,
it was quite a weird incident.
Yeah, it was a strange incident. There's a few things went on, but for me, I didn't feel that was a penalty.
What did you make of the overall performance, Graham? It sounds like you'll need to agree to disagree with these two on the decisions. But what about the game itself?
Game, yeah, I thought Motherwell set up well with their banks, and I think they've done really well. The keeper was good as well, so yeah, I think they're going forward. I think they're in with a good chance against Rangers, to be honest with you. I think they might click some there.
Were you always thinking Celtic were out of sight anyway, or you know, being 12 points now, how do you feel about that?
Well, in the league itself, yeah, probably out of sight, yeah, but always yesterday, going towards nothing each at half time, it's always that. Dundee United feeling last week, wee bit, should have been out of sight. Aberdeen game, the 2-2 game, should have been out of sight. To be honest, Celtics probably should have been maximum points, because that's two games that should have been out of sight, and they didn't collect the points.
So I mean, that's the height of the standards here, I suppose, now, Hugh, because to go back to what Brendan Rodgers said about, can't believe people are saying don't panic because we drew one game, they have dropped points twice. That's it.
Yeah.
So Saturday was only the second time this season they've had to respond to dropping points. And I, again, get what Stuart Kettlewell means. If you don't think it's a penalty and that happens at that time in the game, it can be big. But they also never really looked like they were in any real danger, Celtic.
After Tannadice, Brendan Rodgers said that Celtic lacked a clinical edge. Those were his exact words. Lacked a clinical edge. And first half against Motherwell, it looked as if it was lack of a clinical edge part two. And then came the penalty. And Ingles, you know, it was an important penalty to take, because, you know, if you don't score, then that sets the crowd off wondering if it's going to be one of those days. But he scores, and thereafter I thought Motherwell in the second half were anonymous. Celtic bringing on Hatate, Kyogo, Nicholas Kuhn, just changed everything. So, you know, they're playing the bottom team on Sunday. St Johnstone are in a poor way, and Celtic, I think, would be looking to run up a few goals in the match immediately prior to going to Ibrox.
Is it about Ibrox, Graham? Really, is that what everyone's looking at now? Because barring a real surprise, St Johnstone, you wouldn't fancy at Celtic Park. So does it become about just getting through that one and then trying to really, really put your foot down in the battle of the top two?
Well, a few boys in the bus were saying yesterday they'd take a draw on the way throughout the game, but I don't know. Not having any fans here isn't great either. They're going to be at some point, and probably this is their best opportunity, but at the same time, I think they're a better team. Mm-hmm. They've got a better squad.
Well, the Rangers fans, up until quarter to six yesterday, were thinking they would be in with a real shout, but I just wonder to what extent they have been demoralised by the defeat to St Mirren, because so much been said, and yet another injury problem in the form of Leon Balogun. I think the mood has changed around this match.
I think what clearly the priority for Rangers would be, Scott, is you can't, there is a scenario where if things don't go right on Sunday, a game between those two famous rivals on the 2nd of January might be more towards meaningless for some people. You know, if it was to get worse on Sunday.
Meaningless for who?
No, as in like a Rangers win might not even, the damage might be already done.
Yeah, in terms of the league title, but just for a bit of respect back for the
sure,
for
and
the
to,
side,
to get that, it. That, to get it
that
done
game's
for the first time.
That would be a big monkey off Philippe Clement's back if he could get a victory over Celtic.
Celtic Rangers fans take any form of satisfaction out of winning this game. Doesn't matter.
Meaningless was the wrong word. I suppose what I meant was you can't have a scenario where if you're Rangers, you're position is so bad leading up to that game that even if you win it, it doesn't make much of a dent, is what I was trying to get at.
I think my reading of the situation would be that I'm assuming that both win on Sunday. 12 points at kick-off time. If Celtic win and go 15 points clear, it's a matter of severe embarrassment for Rangers, and the crowd, bearing in mind there'll be no Celtic fans in the ground at all, the crowd will react in a very negative fashion. If
depending
on the performance.
Could be
a team. I fully understand that. But I'm assuming that Rangers will recover and beat Motherwell. And I'm assuming that Celtic will beat St Johnstone.
Yeah, I don't think your colleagues at next year will believe that, though.
Well, if 12
his becomes, predictions are ropey.
If 12 becomes 15, Ibrox will be toxic at time up. And if 12 becomes 9, with the goal difference, it's 10.
It's still a long way, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a long way back.
Do you know what? Graham probably hits on the most sensible point with all this stuff. And we can get into it more as that game nears, but might it just come down to they need to win one eventually? I know we'll analyse the life
the
out
law
of it.
And, averages.
And nobody's saying that Celtic aren't the better team at the moment. Yeah, just at some point, you're going to win one.
Brendan Rodgers.
I don't want to go back over the cup final. I was at the cup final as well, my two sons. I give a big shout out to the Livingston Jokestein bus, who I'm a member of. And yeah, it was ropey goals, both sides. I could have went either way and it was horrible to watch. There's no nice being there in that situation, but it's football and that's why we go.
That's it, keeps you on the edge of your seat. Thank you very much to Graham in Livingston, 01419511025. Just to hear from the other side of things from Celtic Park yesterday, Stuart Kettlewell says baffled would be the word to describe his feeling on refereeing inconsistencies surrounding penalty decisions in that game.
At the time, my gut feeling was that it was soft in terms of how the Celtic player went down, from what I felt was minimal to little, if any, contact. Again, I would need to see that again. I didn't feel that there was much in it at all. Again, this is where I'm left baffled. I don't think it's a penalty, but the other thing it's not is it's not a dive, it's not simulation, he's not tried to buy a penalty, and the referee instantly books him in regards to simulation. I'm kind of blown away by that, I really am.
Yeah, that was Maswanisi up the other end early on. You remember that one? Cause again, even with the tintage bit, I didn't think it was a penalty, really. But no. I think, I don't know why refs over sort of complicate that sometimes. Like, just because something's not a penalty, there's still quite a leap for it to become a dive, is there not?
Yeah, there's a leap. I think you heard we done something the other week. Gilmer says felt a presence. I think it was one of the ones where he obviously feels there's going to be contact, so it's hard to say this as a player without saying it's simulation, but you know the contact's coming, so you're already nearly on the way down, yeah. If that makes sense. You're kind of bracing yourself for the contact, if that makes sense.
Stewart's had his fill of referees for the season, I can't help but feel.
He's not the only one.
But it was only a week ago. It's going to take a while to go over the Dan Casey episode.
Yeah, of course.
I suspect so.
Well, Scott Allen is going to have a word with the referee involved in that fiasco because he's got the Kelty Hearts game coming
up. Who are you playing?
Dumbarton.
And is Chris Graham the referee for that game? The Dan Casey referee from the other night?
I'm sure we believe.
Is he? Yeah, I think you might be right as well on that, but I'd need to double check. You can tell him that he's given us good content.
Great content.
Ask him to phone in. 6 until 8, Monday to Friday.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard, right. We are on Twitter as well, of course, at Clyde SSB. If you would rather get in touch that way, happy to take all your thoughts on the weekend's action. Would like to hear from more of you St Mirren fans. I'd love to hear from you Kilmarnock fans, because I keep saying it. It is only a month ago that Aberdeen lost their first league game of the season. Since then, they've not won in 7, and you've absolutely battered them. 4 going on, whatever, in Ayrshire. So why not give us your thoughts, because things are looking up. So Kelly fans, we'd love to hear from you. Any Motherwell fans after that stuff at the weekend, talking about penalties, and then it's a fairly unforgiving fixture list going from Celtic to Rangers in the space of a couple of days. So how are you feeling about things? We could even go Edinburgh. We could head east, Hearts fans. What is happening? still struggling. It looked like maybe things could pick up. A home derby defeat, that is a bit of a rarity. It must be a tough one to take. You've got Lawrence Shanklin being heckled in the hospitality lounges after the game. So give us all your thoughts there, please, on 0141 951 1025. Whilst you get your calls in, I'll remind you two of this teaser. Can you name the last six signings Celtic have made from within the Scottish Premiership? You've got Luke McCowan and Greg Taylor.
Scott Bain.
Yes.
David Turnbull.
David Turnbull. You've got two to get, and we will get them along with more of your calls after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here on 0141 951 1025, or you can tweet us at Clyde SSB. They're doing pretty well on this teaser, I have to say. I can see them getting there. We're only looking for six answers tonight, and it's a thank you to Noah in Paisley for sending it. Who are the last six signings Celtic have made from within the Scottish Premiership? Luke McCowan, David Turnbull, Greg Taylor, Scott Bain.
Is there a curveball in here? It's not Liam Scales back from Aberdeen.
Nah, we'll do that to you. Oh, Benjamin Segrist, well done.
I think I've got the other one.
Well, just you leave it. Let's build up a bit of suspense until the end of the show. Stephen Roy says, does Mulgrew count too far back? I'm afraid, Stephen, definitely too far back. If you look at the time frame on these ones, still time for you to get your calls in. Whatever your team was up to at the weekend, we would like to share your thoughts on it. Andy's a St Mirren fan. How's it going, Andy? Very well, I'd imagine.
Oh, over the moon, gentlemen. How are we all?
Good.
Yes, good, thank you. What did you make of it, Andy? What pleased you the most?
I mean, where do you begin? I mean, I've been to many St Mirren Rangers games, and you kind of, you know where it's going to go, really, as bad as it sounds. You might have a good start, but then eventually inevitable happens. But I thought from the first half, we were outstanding. I thought we pressed Rangers really well. Didn't give them much to play with. And then second half, the first 15, 20 minutes, Rangers just came out, and they were very good. And obviously they got their equaliser. And then at that point, you're a bit like, oh no, here we go. But I think the substitutions and the tactical changes that Robinson made just completely changed the game. But what I was wanting to bring up was the two young lads that have been training with the first team. I mean, to bring them on in a game like that where it's one each, it's unbelievable. And then obviously the boy Mooney, he assists the winning goal. So it was a really good performance.
I think it's great, as I said, the game management shown by Stephen Robinson last night was first class. And to finish a game against Rangers with two 17-year-olds on the park, and one of them creates the winning goal, is just outstanding. That, I'd love to ask Stephen Robinson, was that the moment of satisfaction for him, that the winning goal was created in that fashion? But an outstanding night for Stephen Robinson on a personal level, outstanding night for the St Mirren team on a collective level. And no wonder you're so happy, Andy.
First league win over Rangers since
2011.
Christmas Eve. Yeah?
Yep.
Yep, that's the one.
And do you know why I remember it? Because that was the first ever so-called big game I did for Clyde One Super Scoreboard with you. Yeah. There you go. You and me, Christmas Eve, 2011. Aaron Moy scored for St Mirren, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it popped up the other day.
Paul McGowan,
Rangers, was it two cent off, I think. But there you go. So, you know, that's when you're in amongst the big boys here, Scott. When it used to be championship games or the odd premiership game, but then you need to go to St Mirren with the legend and look after him and get his tea at half time and do a bit of co-reporting. There
look
we go.
You know, yeah.
13 years ago. And you're still going strong. Good on you. Andy, just how impressive is the overall kind of form at the moment?
Well, I mean, I've never actually realised until I seen Robinson's post-match interview. It's actually about a point ahead of where we were last season, which is last season was the first time in I can't remember the exact amount, but it was a long while. So I think with the group of players that we've got, despite obviously three of our signings being up to no good and having to release them, I think the core group of players that we've got, I think we can do quite well, and I don't see...
It's a fair point, Hugh, because I think you know the reasons for it that are above and beyond this show, really, and the legal matters and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. But if we go football wise, that can't have been easy just on a pure personnel basis for absolutely. Stephen Robinson. They've now won 5 out of the last 7. They've won 3 in the spin.
Andy raises a great point there, because these are difficult things for managers to deal with. There's a press intensity about it all, and you're having to field questions about something that's nothing to do with a football manager, really. So he has come through that period, and can I also invite you to look back when St Mirren score the free kick that wins the game at Ross County? Stephen Robinson gets my vote for the wee dance of the season.
I did like that, I have to say. I noticed that. Thanks very much, Andy. A happy St Mirren fan in Helensburgh, as you would expect. Come on then, Mr Hibbs. How important was that one yesterday?
Yeah, it was massive. I think David Gray now putting the wins together has put Hibs right up the table. I think they can now build on that. I think Nicky Cadden's obviously been the catalyst in their upturn in form, no question. He's added quality, scored some big goals, the assists that we spoke about at the top of the show. They've defended a lot better, cut out all the individual errors that would cost them a lot of points early on in the season. Obviously changing the goalie halfway through a season as well never helps, but he's came onto a game as well. So Dwight Gayle obviously coming out last week saying that his body's not feeling the same, and then produces a moment of magic like he did. So Hibs are on an upward trajectory. I think there's a really good platform for them to go and build on. Hearts, on the other hand, you're looking at them, they look devoid of ideas, creativity. They now go to Ross County away, who are off the back of a 3-0 win away at Dens Park, which is going to be a really tough game. So for both Edinburgh sides, one team's going in one direction, the other team desperately need a win.
What impressed me about David Gray after the game, dignified in victory. The Hibs players, to use an old-fashioned expression, went yahoo.
Yep.
And you could understand why they might have upset some people. I know it's a derby match, and I know the first win in 5 years at Tynecastle, but a little over the top for me. But David Gray didn't get involved, and that was a very, very important result for him. It could be the one, as Scott said, that takes him round the corner to better times. And he too has survived an awful lot of pressure, because when you're bottom of the league, it's a tough one when you're in your managerial infancy.
What level of trouble are Hearts in?
Big. That Ross County will be a severe test of them. For me, Neil Critchley doesn't look totally comfortable in the job. He's now talking about a January transfer window that will, he hopes, change things. But when you told me the story about Lauren Shankland being heckled in the hospitality suite, I thought, well, really, that's a toxic atmosphere you're dealing with now. And there were some terrible chants directed at Anne Budge earlier in the season. Given that the lady rescued Hearts, I thought it was shameful. Lauren Shankland in Belgium when he missed the penalty, terrible abuse. So the atmosphere is toxic. He's won 4 out of 15 games, Neil Critchley, and he's too near the bottom for comfort, and Ross County will be a severe test of everyone in Maroon.
I think for me the atmosphere is playing a huge part, especially at home at this moment in time. You could see the nervousness in the players on the derby. They were hooking things on. There was no composure within the team. That's a sign of the environment that you're playing in at the moment, and they Hearts players really need the fans at this moment in time, but they're just not happy with the product on the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, there has always been an assumption though that Hearts have, by kind of outside of Glasgow football terms, decent finances, you know, good budget and so on. That supercomputer has to come up with something in January, doesn't it?
Well, it has to. This form needs to change for Hearts. I think the fact that it's been a decline after the first few games that Neil Critchley came in would be a worry. I think Listen, for such an important January, the supercomputer is, as you say, is going to need to produce something really, really special for Hearts, because at this moment in time, they're in a real struggle and a real battle.
The supercomputer came up with Neil Critchley for a start.
Yes, well, that's a good that's a great point here.
Yeah, but I'm not saying you disregard it, because that's the whole point.
They aren't his players, though, at this moment in time. That need to take that bit of consideration into that. Look, David Gray was one who was getting chased out the door. He's been allowed time and he's managed to turn it around. But the personality that I see in David Gray, I don't see in Neil Critchley.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting few weeks, of course, because the big game's to come before that window opens. Kelly, Aberdeen, who gets the headlines?
It ought to be Derek McInnes for a terrific win, but the focus has to be on Jimmy Tilleen, because no wins in seven. It was all going so well. Even survived losing 6-0 to Celtic in the Premier Sports Cup semi-final. The reset, and it was fine, but now no wins in seven for a reason. The reason being something's gone horribly wrong and you had better find it and fix it.
Yeah, I think Aberdeen, for me, I watched that game yesterday. They just had no answers for what Kelly threw at them. Kelly went man for man and they really struggled. They didn't have an out ball. Ambrose was up front, offered nothing for me. Nisbet on the bench, obviously a Scottish international. Why is he on the bench still? Obviously things that we don't know. So middle of the park, really struggled to get on the ball and cause Kelly any sort of problems. They need to find a solution, because the expectations built obviously on the early part of the season and the form that they were shown, even though in some of the games they produced moments, even when they didn't play well, that turned potential draws into wins. But at this moment in time, it's very hard to see where their wins
got,
going to come.
Got off lightly at four.
Yeah, they did.
Got off lightly.
No question.
So, there's food for thought there.
How do you view the picture at the bottom quickly? Because obviously St Johnstone lost against Dundee United. They stay bottom. There are only 5 points separating the bottom four, because now you would include Dundee in that, having been beaten by Ross County. Nobody gets beaten by Ross County at home until this weekend.
Well, St Johnstone are the main worry, I think, because it's not happening. The new manager bounce isn't happening under Simo Vallecari.
It kind of looked like it had, though, a bit at the start. No?
They do look much more watchable in terms of the football that they play. I just think at this moment in time, based on the squad of players that he has, what he really wants, he probably can't show in terms of the profile of the players that he has. I do think they carry a threat. Obviously, up forward, I thought Mackenzie Kirk again was a real positive in the game, scores a fantastic goal. If they get a few players in that midfield area, they could maybe climb a few places for me.
Right, let's leave it there, because you have work to do on your full-time teaser. Thank you to Noah in Paisley. He says, can you name the last six signings Celtic have made from within the Scottish Premiership? Luke McCowan most recently, Benji Sigrist, David Turnbull, Greg Taylor and Scott Bain, which means one to go.
Jack Henry.
No.
Oh, you're joking.
Was he a former teammate of yours?
Yes, he was.
No. Ooh, same club as Greg Taylor was signed from.
Christopher
Nearly. It was very good for Kelly, and it didn't quite click for Celtic. I don't know if it was at the wrong time or something, or just
Yusuf Malumbu,
well done.
Another ex-teammate.
Do you play with him at West Brom?
Yeah, and he was at Celtic as well.
Thank you very much to Scott Allen and to Hugh Keevans, and thank you. Merry Christmas again from us. We are, since everyone's days are all over the place, back Sunday, because it is a huge day of Scottish Premiership action. So make sure you catch us on Sunday, and we will speak to you then. Enjoy the rest of your Friday night.